Book of Hebrews, if you will, please. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, last week I began a message having to do with living in God's family and things that is important for us to do that will help each other, be a benefit to each other and to ourselves as we do them, for sure. Last week we looked at the matter of exhorting each other, exhorting meaning to encourage, to challenge a person. When you exhort someone, you are actually, you're challenging them to come alongside. When the Holy Spirit exhorts us, He's calling us to come alongside of Him, come alongside of the truth. And so when you exhort another believer, when you encourage another believer, what you're doing is encouraging them to, in whatever area that you're encouraging them. Maybe it's in prayer, maybe it's in Bible reading, maybe it's in their attendance, maybe it's just in participating with you in some kind of activity or event that's going on, and you're calling them alongside. Now tonight we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 10, and it's in the matter of consideration of each other. It's important that we exhort each other, encourage, and call a person to do the right thing, but we need to have consideration of each other. And in Hebrews chapter 10, I'm looking at verse 23 is where we'll begin reading. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Now, you know, we make a profession of faith. I know I'm saved, you say, but how do you know I'm saved? All you can do is believe what I say, right? You accept my word. You also observe my life and you see how I live. And between those two things, you come to a conclusion regarding my profession of faith. And so I need to hold fast the profession of my faith. And it says, without wavering. In other words, if one week I'm living a good godly life, and I'm being kind, and I'm being helpful, and just as sweet as can be, you know, that's fine. But then 2 weeks later, I got a great big grump on. Bob chuckling there made me think. In my office, I got this at Rock City when our grandson Jake got married last summer, yeah. And we were in their gift shop part, and it looks like a rock, sort of shaped like that, and it's got a little black bear on top of it, and what's printed on it is a grumpy bear lives here with his honey. I like that, so I got it. I resemble that. But, you know, if one day I come in the door and I'm friend, hey, how are you doing, Tanya? Good to see you, Bryson. Wow, hi, Chris. How's Chris today? Having a good time? And, you know, I'm just so happy on top of it. And then 2 weeks later, I come in, I don't even say anything to anybody. Somebody says, hi there, Pastor. Hi. You see? Let us hold fast our profession of faith without wavering. Okay? And there isn't anything that can, well, yeah, there's other things. But one thing that can really ruin a testimony is moodiness. Now, not everybody has a problem with being moody. Okay? Most people are in the middle and it's just something that's there. But then you have some people who they have no problem with being moody. They're just not moody. But then you have that other side of the being moody, that they're moody. And one way when you see them, you say hi, and they'll be smiling, and they'll respond to you, and they'll stand there and chat. And then next week you walk by them and you say hi, and did they hear me? Maybe let me go back up. Hi, they're not in good mood, and they're letting everybody know they're not in good mood. That's wavering. And we are told to let us hold fast our profession of faith without wavering. Now, I understand that, sometimes you're carrying heavy burdens. I realize you might be here and, you'd really rather be home because you don't know if, your stomach just isn't feeling the best. And maybe you should have stayed home because you're not feeling good, but you made the effort and you came out, and so you're not going to be bubbly, like when you're on top of the world. But force it. Make it look good. You say, well, that's not sincere. Oh yeah, it is. You're sincerely trying to be what you should be. Okay, and so let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And then here's verse 24. Let us consider one another. That's the one we're at today. Consider each other. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So I am supposed to provoke. I'm supposed to prod. I'm supposed to encourage. I'm supposed to do whatever can be done to bring you to love and to do good works. Consider one another. I always had a thing that really, and it still bugs me, and it does at the library where I work now and clean, I'm really wanting to make a few signs and hang them around. But that's not my job. Today, I spent 2 hours here, several weeks ago now, 2 hours cleaning the sink in the staff break room. I found out that there was a lady who wouldn't use it because of how cruddy it was. And it was cruddy, okay? Steel wool is what I used on it. And I got it clean. So today I was leaving and one of the young girls, a Christian girl, found out. And she told me, she said, there's brownies in the break room. I said, whoa, I appreciate it. Somebody brought a pumpkin, okay, and put candy in it. And I was in there looking at all the good stuff I ate earlier. So, and so she said, there's brownies in the break room. I said, whoa, thank you. I threw the piece of candy back in the bucket, and I went in the break room, and oh my lands, that sink. My wife said when I started working there, she said, now, are you going to quit when it's quitting time? Or are you just going to work until you got done what you needed? Most of the time, I quit when it's quitting time, okay? But there's times like that, I walked in there and I saw that, oh man. So I don't know, 5-6 minutes is all it took to rinse it out. I don't know what they ate, but it had noodles in it. And they I guess were rinsing it out, but they I didn't see anybody with bad eyesight there, but they didn't see where some of them noodles went. Anyway, I quick cleaned up the sink, not fully as it should be, but a whole lot better than it was. And and then the coffee pot. Nobody knows how to wipe up drips of coffee that are on the counter. Okay, and so they make the coffee, and then you got drips here, and you got coffee stains there, and drips there, and boy, that really, I yourself. Now, look, the people that do the sort of thing that I've just been describing, and listen to me, this is true in your home as well. The person who do this sort of thing, they are not considerate of the others. They feel their convenience and their time is more important than anyone else's. So if you make a mess, you clean the mess up. If I used to make a sign and I hung it up, and these folks over here, they remember seeing them, and the one sign is if you use it, you replace it. If you break it, fix it or take it to somebody who can. Okay, why? And then tools. I had a tool board, and there weren't a lot of tools. A few screwdrivers, half dozen screwdrivers, a couple of pliers and a hammer. And so I took a magic marker, and it, you know, they were hanging their nails, and I drew around them. They loved to give me a hard time about it, and I understood that. And but that was, you say, what'd you do that for? That way I know what wasn't returned that should have been. Mm-hmm. Now, when somebody would take a tool, and then they leave it lay in the classroom where they used it, what are they saying? They're saying that my time, when I had to go look around for it, or in your home, when somebody uses something and they don't return it to where it belongs, a scissor from a drawer, okay, or a tool or whatever, they don't return it. What they're saying is your time doesn't matter as much as theirs. Now, I understand people don't stop and think about it, and they're not intending to say that, but that is what they're saying. Their actions are indicating that. And it tells us here that we are to consider one another. So there's things that we can do in the church, in the body of Christ, that can encourage one another and show consideration of another person. And there isn't anything that can be more frustrating than when a teacher is teaching her class, and here are six kids sitting there, and she reaches in her cabinet, or wherever it's kept, for the scissors. And the scissors isn't there. Why? Because somebody was doing something around the church and needed the scissors and found one, but they didn't take it back. The problem isn't borrowing it. But now here this teacher is, needs the scissor. She's got six kids. She can't leave the kids, or shouldn't leave the kids, and go look for this. And where in the world would you look? Okay, well, the last place the person is that used it, that's where you'd look. The only thing is, you don't know where that was. Now this is where consideration, this is where rubber meets the road. I can stand up here and preach very nice, spiritual-sounding things. I can stand up here and I can preach and we, now you know, and brothers and sisters, we ought to be considerate of each other. There's many things that can encourage us and can just warm our hearts with the love of God if we just consider each other. Oh, yeah. That's so nice. I feel so good. What's it all mean? Oh, no. But when you put that teacher's scissor back, that's considering her. When you had to go run downstairs to get something to do up here, and you leave whatever you got down there up here, and then when somebody's downstairs doing whatever they're doing, and they can't find it, and they have to run up here to look around. And you ever wonder, who was inconsiderate to me today? No, I don't think of that. Don't you get upset when you have to go? Sure you do, because you're always yelling at your kids. I always have to be picking up after you. Can't you put anything where it belongs? If you put it where it belongs, I would have to run after you all the time. Huh?
Never.
No. I know, we have an exceptional rule. here's the one I love. Look, I have to pick up after your children. I'm not picking up after you. Have you heard that one? You know, our kids, it was long ago when they were young, and all I remember is being the perfect husband and father.
Yeah, right?
Now, my memory might be a little skewed. See, it's good you came tonight. Yours or... Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to end with this one. That leaves us two other things to do in God's family for next week. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For if every man shall bear his own burden, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And so here is a passage where we're bearing one another's burdens, we're bearing our own burdens, but the whole point of it is that we need to have consideration of each other, and not to think ourselves to be something more than what we really are. Okay, and that's such an important thing. So we exhort each other, we encourage, then we consider each other, and really the consideration in very, very practical areas of living is what really shows a caring for another person. And I honestly think that's spiritual living. Okay? There's a lot of things that we could use and describe spiritual living, but so much of it is pie in the sky. And if spirituality doesn't affect everyday life and our interaction with each other, it's not really worth too much. Okay? And a man's thinking of himself more than what he ought to be. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Help us to understand it and how to live it. Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we'll go to prayer group.
We don't have to stay.
We need to.
I just don't want.